What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Final hour of the show before we turn things over to the G-Bag Nation. They're not running around like tigers in there right now. They're having a conversation. I know we had a great Mike the Tiger conversation yesterday. Mm. That was a lot of fun, Mike. I went back and listened to it. Cracked Adrian up. She got your Indian Ocean, Guardian Ocean joke immediately.
I did not.
Like Kevin Hagland.
Sorry.
Do we have an update on the Gulf of Mexico?
I haven't heard anything more.
It doesn't matter today. Till January 20th.
Can you just say I want to call it that? And if other people start calling it, then it just kind of catches on? Is that a thing? You know?
Kind of like Central.
Like the word
like it's really 75.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's 75 Central Expressway.
LBJ.
LBJ. Yeah.
I don't like the way you guys say that.
635. That's an option there.
I did not say it the way he said it.
All right. I did want to get in. I know the Cowboys released their schedule a little earlier in the week, and I was curious based on the history of this, how it works.
It's called LBJ and the Bush. I just thought of that.
It's a good question.
Do they next connect? Have, like, they do connect.
Next we're going to have the training bra highway or whatever.
What are you doing, Kevin?
No, we're 635.
Real names, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Tom Landry Highway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many people know which highway that is?
I don't know. It's the one that with the hat on.
It's 30.
Yeah. When does it become Tom Landry Highway?
Whenever the hell he said so.
When you see the hat. That's a good one right there. Home games next year. Guess who they're playing? Giants, Eagles, and Commanders.
That makes sense.
I was shocked. They also have Packers, Chiefs, Chargers, Vikings, Cardinals. Does that feel like a good home schedule? Like a good group of that feels Packers are good.
Yeah.
Chiefs are coin flip. You never know if they're going to be good or not.
They're very good.
Chargers going to be a good team. Vikings, depending on quarterback situation, could be a very good team. And if Brian Flores is still there, and then the Cardinals, I don't know. I don't think that, but their away schedule is the Bears, Broncos, Lions, Raiders, Jets, and Panthers. And I feel like because of the way that they finished this the way that they finished their record this year, it looks like a beneficial schedule for them next year.
Jets right now stink. So do the Panthers. So do the Giants. I mean, but the NFL can change really quickly.
And Mike, the Chiefs part of it, you're like,
they have a better chance of going over 500 on the road than they do at home.
Yeah, that's the way I'm looking at
home.
It. Yeah, the home record, the home schedule looks very tough. But and I don't know how often this changes. I would love to have people give me the before season and after season because we talk about that a lot. Preseason, you're looking at going, man, this schedule's tough. And then about halfway through it, you're like, well, three of these teams that we thought were going to be tough stink. One of them turned out to be better than we thought, and the other two are exactly what they thought we were. Can we beat those? And I wonder how that history typically winds up. And you don't have any numbers on that yet, Kevin.
I do not.
All right. Well, you know what? Next year, I expect it.
Okay.
All right.
I will work on that.
Now, one of the stories I've been wanting to get to for a while, though, is there is a team called the Hershey Bears. The Hershey Bears.
In Pennsylvania?
Yes. Hockey, right?
Yeah. Well, Hershey, Pennsylvania.
And
chocolate.
they have a tradition, and it's one of the coolest traditions, I think. But there are other ones out there. What is your favorite fan tradition when you, the fans take part in something? Mike, you, I'm not going to say complain, but you are constantly hoping that the Rangers fan base will be better at some things, be better fans. And I
they'd
think
they'd have to travel to other places to understand how other environments cheer for baseball. I think that it's just, I know this sounds weird. I just feel like there's a lot of people maybe that are uneducated on how to cheer at a baseball game in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Now, this is not a daily or nightly thing, but it is a yearly thing. And this is from the Hershey Bears. They said, Bear Nation, again, hockey team, your generosity is unmatched. Thank you for once again making Teddy Bear Toss Hershey a huge success. And what happens is they are asked on this specific night to show up and throw teddy bears onto the ice at a certain time. And then somebody, the people are assigned to go out there. It was really great.
It'd be tougher to just throw teddies, right? Because they don't have much weight.
That's the Kevin.
Yeah.
I get it.
For that someone special. I mean, if you like the hockey player.
There are. I think that's happened before. I think there have been bras and stuff thrown. There are pictures, videos of the hockey players after they were all kind of collected and pushed to the side. The hockey players diving into the teddy bears. They broke the record this year. 102,343 teddy bears.
Wow.
And I just think that's like one of those. Look at this picture, Kevin, of just this pile. And then you kind of go.
That is so many teddy bears.
Look at these players, and they're getting into it. And Mike, I know in minor.
It looks like the goalie wishes that could happen in the game. He's like, no one's ever going to score.
No, nobody will. Mike, I know in minor league baseball, there's a lot of bits, you know, to keep people interested and engaged in the games. Every time I've ever been to a minor league game, I'm like, I'm very captivated by stuff that they do on the outside of the foul lines.
Yeah.
I'm always captivated by that. Did you ever see something that you're like, I can't wait to get back to this specific place because it...
Okay, so recently, I know this isn't minor leagues, but recently in Seattle when they play that, I don't know how to... The Macklemore song, it's kind of a hype song. I was like, all right, okay. That place goes... They go crazy and they just keep going crazy into the bottom of the seventh inning. So we have Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah.
As soon as the Cotton Eye Joe is done, everybody sits down and it's like... Everybody be really quiet. I think we're hitting now. Like, we need to be really quiet. We're hitting. And Seattle's the opposite. They, like, carry that song, that energy over. Like, we're going to keep standing up and just keep screaming and yelling and see if we can score more in the bottom of the seventh inning. So that was really impressive to me. Out of all the places I went last year with the Rangers, something that carried over just kind of the bottom of the seventh inning, the seventh inning stretch carrying over into the bottom of the seventh inning. Seattle impressed me a lot with that song carrying over a lot of energy into the bottom of the seventh inning.
I love that. And it does kind of give you a different feeling of your connection to what's going on the field when you're that engaged with it. And even if you're not engaged, if you're a little kid or a girlfriend or boyfriend that showed up that didn't really care about the game and you like this part of it, you're into it and it is part of it. I am with this person, Tyler, from the 214. I love being at a Stars game when the national anthem plays and the whole stadium yells Stars, and I'm with them. I get chills every time still.
I agree with that.
Although you're not supposed to do it in the middle of the national anthem.
I was not prepared that other teams will jump in. Because, like,
Knights.
Sharks. That scared the crap out of me when people yelled Knight when I was at a Stars game. And I was like, what the? Oh, yeah. I wasn't prepared for that.
Were you prepared as a kid? Did you ever go to a Baltimore Oriole game against the Texas Rangers and they yell, oh?
I don't think I remember that.
I didn't know that. Yeah,
they owe it up.
I loved, once I learned what Steve Buscemi, like, why they were booing, you know, like, I,
that was surprising to me as a kid too. My dad had to tell me. I got it as soon as he told me as a young kid, but yeah, you're confused on, wait, isn't this our player? We're happy for him.
For me, it's a couple A&M things. The more recent one is once the opponent walks somebody and then before the next pitch and they go ball five. And if it's a ball six. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, the one thing, like, the thing I love when it comes to college football? College football is probably the best at it. And you just said the baseball part of it.
I got a college football one for A&M too.
College football is phenomenal, but the one that almost every time that I see it brings a bit of a tear to my eye is Iowa. Iowa does this phenomenal thing because they have their Iowa Pediatric Center right next door. And so it's a children's hospital right there. And I can't remember, it's third quarter, half, somewhere in that time frame, everybody turns and waves at the children's hospital. And all the children in the children's hospital are at the windows and they're waving back. And I'm like getting a little teared up right now, even talking about it, just because it's, man, those kids are going through it, dude. Yeah. Like they're going through it in that hospital. And to see that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Many people, just saying hi is really awesome.
So my version of that is at the end of the third quarter when it's time for the Aggie War Hymn. Yeah, at the A&M games, cool. And everyone links their arms and their legs. I would frequently go to games and try to be wedged in between two people I knew, so I didn't have to, like,
because you hate people.
Yeah, because I didn't want to be like locking arms.
Do you
and
like
legs.
Me and Corey enough that you could lock up with us for 3 minutes?
I mean, if the other choices were strangers,
is it
definitely
3 minutes?
It's a long. I don't know how long is it.
It's a couple minutes. Yeah,
3 minutes is long. That's a long time.
And you sway back and forth because you're sawing those horns off.
Yeah. And we put our legs in between each other.
That's true.
And then we grab each other's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
that's
this
fine.
Would be
it's
the
really
most
cool.
uncomfortable thing ever.
For
you.
For Kevin.
Yeah. I don't. It's.
What would happen if, did you ever get in between two people you don't know and you didn't want them to touch you?
I did, but I did it anyway because, or else people yell at you and stuff. So I did it anyway. That part wasn't my favorite.
From the 214, the Allen America.
Do they do that at basketball games or? I don't.
There is no. So there
like
is
at A&M.
Oh, A&M,
like,
I don't
is
know.
A&M, is it just football?
It's not the same.
Okay.
One of the things my father-in-law just saw it for the first time, and I'm sorry, Kevin, you might know which college it is. I saw this, and I believe it was Trey Wingo that was the Sports Center guy. Like the first time they ever did it. What college basketball team is it? They say quiet until the first points are scored and then they lose
That's
their damn
right.
minds. And like my father-in-law just saw it for the first time this year. And
this
he was like,
"Sounds exciting. I don't think I've seen this."
Yeah. He was like, "Have you ever heard of this?" And I was like, it's 25 years now. They've been doing this and it's Silent Night is what it's called. And it's around a certain time of year. And they do that. They stay quiet until the first 2 points are scored by their team. And then they lose their, they go on the court.
How exciting would it be though, if you're the other team and you can hold that team scoreless for the first 4 minutes or until
they're just
going to
be quiet.
I don't even know if this is a team that plays on TV.
It's a smaller arena. Yeah.
A TV timeout. And they're like, they haven't scored yet. They've been dead silent the whole
Taylor game. University.
Yes, I believe that's what it is.
That's and been in the news.
It is a really, really cool thing that they do. So, like, I think
it's
that's really
Joy
fun.
Taylor University.
She's Mike from the 214. The Allen American hockey team has a teddy bear toss each year, so that's really cool. I did not know that. You've been to plenty.
I've
of
covered
American
that
things.
Before.
Atlanta Braves yell when they say "home with the brave," like you, like we're talking about there. From the 571 pro soccer, everywhere but FC Dallas. Does a okay? I'm sorry, I misread that one. I thought they were saying something else specifically about that. And then, yeah, they brought up the 18 the Seattle where they do that with the ceiling can't hold us. That's the song that you're
there.
Talking
we go.
About
thank
there, Mike.
You. Thank you. I know. I was doing all the other parts, but the main part.
The one of the notes that I just saw from Diana Russini popped up, Kevin, and she said while the New York Jets have requested basically everybody. Again, check your junk mail. You might have a request from the Jets to be their next head coach. Many coaches they've reached out to, she is told they have not requested to speak with Mike McCarthy yet. So they're still kind of in that holding. Broaddus is right. The Bears situation, the Cowboys said, we're shutting that down. More and more of these teams start reaching out, and then it becomes a bigger, bigger story. It's kind of what Jerry wants. And he's like, no, please reach out. And I want you to reach out because it keeps us in the conversation. But even more so, as you get into next week and closer to his deadline, if the Cowboys don't negotiate a contract with him by that end of that deadline, that negotiation period, yeah, he can go to the Bears,
sure,
and have that conversation. It's whether or not the Bears are willing to wait that a week for this guy.
And it's interesting because some of these have like pretty clear betting lines. So right now, Ben Johnson is even money to be the Bears' next head coach. Liam Cohen, we talked about him yesterday, he's 1-3 to be the Jags' next head coach, so a really heavy favorite. And then Mike Vrabel, 1-4 to be the Patriots' next head coach, and Aaron Glenn, 1-2 to be the Saints' next head coach. It's the Jets and the Ravens where there appears to be a little bit more uncertainty at this point. If you go off of betting lines, and I know a lot of people do, because they're like,
oh, it's a huge conversation. Vegas knows something.
Yeah. And so, interestingly enough, except for who will be the Raiders' next head coach and the Jets, those two have kind of, there's not a clear cut front runner at this moment.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, Josh Allen says Joe Brady has brought nothing to the Bills. That's kind of a, no, I'm serious.
What?
Yeah, we'll talk about that and your fantasy MVPs and LVPs next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, lots of serious stuff to discuss here, Kevin. One non-serious thing. Aaron the Bug Guy says he has not gotten his email. He checked his junk mail. Nothing from the Jets so far. So he said, actually, I'm sorry, he did get an email. He instantly turned it down. So that was probably a smart thing by Aaron the Bug Guy. And then from the 503, how was the double noodle soup, Kevin? Have you tried double noodle yet?
I tried it last night. It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can still go noodle wild in those first several bites, and you're not done.
See, whenever I ate it, I didn't have a spoon. So I was sipping it, and so I drank all the broth, and it was nothing but noodle. That's what they should call it, nothing but noodle.
You went noodling.
Yeah, I went noodling. It was crazy, man. I wanted to revisit this Tom Pelissero's story about Bill Belichick real quick.
Okay.
Because earlier, the story and part of the story was a lot of teams have questioned whether or not Bill Belichick would return to the NFL. And they're kind of curious about that. Tom Brady actually had a conversation with him. You and I discussed. I think that's a really good question. Yeah. Was it a, hey, I'm working on this and I'd like to do it? Or, hey, we just fired our coach. Do you want to be the coach? Bill Belichick's UNC contract includes a $10 million buyout if he leaves before June 1st of 2025.
Oh, wow.
He also says it's not entirely clear whether it would apply if he returns to the NFL in the coming weeks. So I don't, and again, it's not clear, so maybe they don't know yet. But six NFL head coach jobs are available: Jets, Saints, Bears, Patriots, Jaguars, and Raiders. Antonio Pierce is now gone. Brady's there. He's familiar with the coach. I just can't. I can't see. I've seen him do it before. He actually did a press conference with the Jets and then said, I'll see y'all later, and
yes,
went to the Patriots. I mean, it was all ready to go, and he was like, I'll see y'all later. I guess I can see it. It just doesn't seem like you would say, I'm going to coach this team. Now I have leverage.
I don't think it's going to happen just because of how outspoken he's been about going to North Carolina and his son being in line behind him and all of that. So I'll say he stays at least for now. I don't know how long he'll stay.
Okay.
But at least for now.
And Kevin, I have to apologize here. And I should have brought this up during our break in conversation. I do not have the list of fantasy MVPs and LVPs.
Okay.
And now here we are in one of the final segments of the show.
That's okay.
And your voice is given up.
This is where we take phone calls.
Yeah, no, this is where we just say,
what are your thoughts on things?
But you can ask for text. Did you have a most valuable player, least valuable player in fantasy football? 877-881-1053. But I want to ask you about another thing.
Okay.
Voice is getting worse.
We don't need a minute updates, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
You need some hot tea.
Or hey, do you want one of these cough drops I have in here? Oh, it's Ricola.
That's right.
It's
you ever Ricola. Eaten, you, those are good. You ever eaten raw honey?
Oh, raw honey is very yes. good.
Yes, I help? Have. It does.
Yeah, it coats the throat, and then it just kind of allows your vocal cords to work with each other better, I believe.
Myles Garrett said this season was more disappointing to him than the year they went 0-16. Which, on the surface, feels wrong, but...
I get it. He was already expecting to be horrible that year.
And this year, he expected to be good, and he said it's all about expectations. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yes, except his expectations were crushed in week one.
By the Cowboys?
Yeah.
And so then he should have reset.
He should have gone,
we're not a playoff team.
Our quarterback is horrible.
And you know, we discussed yesterday Micah Parsons sitting down Friday with Jerry Jones. Isn't it interesting that we have a huge football game going on at AT&T Stadium on Friday and snow might be around?
You know what?
That is... I'd never thought of that. In fact, I heard somebody tell their child who's at UT, not mine. I'm not saying...
You have a child at UT.
Yeah. And she actually left today to make sure that she has a safe travel back to University of Texas instead of leaving Friday was her plan a couple weeks ago, is they were going to come up for the game. And they're like, don't do that.
Okay.
Huh.
And think about how weird it is.
The game's getting played, though, like, right?
I think so, but think about what's happening across the entire country. That game might be impacted by snow. The Rams playoff game could potentially get impacted by the wildfires.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Minnesota Vikings are obviously waiting word if something's going to happen there. That's a terrible situation, obviously, but you could see weather having a big impact.
The Pacific Palisades area over there, Kevin, just leveled. Like, the mall's there, but nothing else. Like, that's sad. It happens. Like, we've seen consistently over there that happen. Mike is supposedly going to sit down with Jerry, though, and have that conversation. Can Myles Garrett have that conversation with Cleveland, or is the proof already been there about this team? While he's been there.
And I think it's the fact that he already signed his deal that I wonder about the leverage he might have.
So I've always, and I talked about this with CA last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. Darren Williams is the one I kind of go to a lot of times. In the NBA, it seemed like, hey, I'm going to be here. I got drafted here. But once I get my contract, I'm forcing my way out. You know, I'm the star of this team, but now that I've gotten paid, every team has to pay me.
Yeah,
it's just I don't want to be here anymore. So because you're a loser, and I, it doesn't seem like the NFL has that ability. But nobody's really pushed the NFL to say trade me. You know, they hold out, and once they have their money, they're like, I'm playing for my team now. You know, I've been paid, but Myles Garrett his whole career might be I didn't play Mike Troutish, where I played in a little bit of playoff time, but I never got my chance to shine with a great team, and I want that opportunity more than anything else. Can he sit down with the Browns and say, guys, I need y'all to really invest in this now, and what answers could they have considering, hey, we gave you a big contract, you're the guy.
From the 501 in the fantasy space, Joe Burrow was their MVP, Breece Hall. Was their least valuable.
The guy who won our fantasy league in my with my friends had Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. What's the defining factor in a championship game? Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase in the final week needed something. Almost the entire rest of the league, except for Minnesota and Detroit, was kind of like, let's throw our backups out there for at least a half of the game. And that game specifically, Joe Burrow didn't have great numbers. Ja'Marr Chase did pretty good there. But this season, for those two, huge numbers. I'm going to give you a rundown real quick, Kevin, sure, of the fantasy point scorers. Who do you think was the top fantasy point scorer this year?
Lamar?
Lamar Jackson.
Oh, that's a good one, because I was thinking Barkley.
In the PPR, this is a PPR league, which means points per reception.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson was number one with 430 points. He averaged 25 points per game.
Wow.
0.3 if you want to be exact.
Gotcha.
Next up, Ja'Marr Chase. Usually, Kevin, it's like five quarterbacks until you get to a receiver somewhere. And that's changed over time. Used to be running backs would be higher, but the higher receivers are starting to get these numbers. Ja'Marr Chase, 27 points off from Lamar Jackson, a whole game's worth at 403. Josh Allen, 379. That's the difference in fantasy points between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Joe Burrow right behind him at 372. Mayfield, that's a shocker. Like, that would be on our list of what were the shocking things that happened this NFL season, was Baker Mayfield just completely turned around. And then Jahmyr Gibbs, Jaden Daniels, Saquon Barkley, Bijan, Derrick Henry.
I have an overreaction or reality question for you tomorrow about Baker Mayfield, for sure. Now, I know for a lot of people,
Bijan in his second year, though, being up there with Barkley and Derrick Henry, that's where you had him coming out of the draft. Yes. You're like, he's that kind of a running back. Absolutely. And he's in his second year putting up those types of numbers.
And I think he's phenomenal. For a lot of people, see, Breece Hall, I get a little bit more because people might bring up like Christian McCaffrey, but that's kind of on you, right? That's the gamble that you're going to run.
Yes. There are certain players every year that you're looking at going, I might not do great with this guy.
It probably doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter in real football because his team's still awesome. But don't you think Patrick Mahomes was probably an LVP for fantasy players?
Yes.
At least for the first half of the season.
Yeah. Even the second half, probably good, but he still wasn't throwing for, let's say, 350. Because I don't know. I haven't played fantasy football in a while. Sometimes you'd get a bonus for getting 300 passing yards. Yeah. So you'd get So you'd have the 300 yards, and then you're looking at as many touchdowns as possible. And then, obviously, the reason Lamar kills it is because he gets so many running touchdowns. I assume Josh Allen is, you know, up there at times with that too. And Jalen Hurts might be a better fantasy quarterback than real quarterback.
Okay, I gotcha. Now, to go along with all this,
I have three LVPs to throw
out there. Tell me.
Tyreek Hill obviously is one of them. That's not mine, though. But Tyreek Hill is getting a lot of push because people expected him to be the number one receiver this year.
Have you seen all the damage control today about that, where they're like, oh, it's unacceptable, we all met? I don't know how that meeting went. They might have been like, that's unacceptable, and Tyreek Hill's like, your play is unacceptable. Your franchise is unacceptable. We can't win a game when it's 40 degrees. I'm out. Like, a lot of damage control today.
Jake Ferguson gets a little bit of that for me because I expected him to be one of those top five type of tight ends this year, and that could be a lot of different factors. But Kevin, Deebo Samuel, injuries are a problem with that guy. That's a risk, but I expect a lot out of that guy. Etienne, he was expected to be a lead running back, and he got taken over by another running back this year. But everybody was like, hey, look, we saw what he did. He can catch out of the backfield. He can do all these really good things, and his numbers did not inspire.
So Yahoo had Travis Etienne as the most likely, like, honorable mention as a round two bust, because leading the way was Marvin Harrison Jr. Again, this is
interesting.
This is fantasy. Okay. So it's not to say your progression of like regular football, but I probably expected more from him as well.
And I see this, a lot of people probably feel this way, and Mike warned you a long time ago. Kyle Pitts has been a perpetual LVP for people who are like, this is his year. And Evan Engram has been that kind of guy consistently, because you're like, just wait, he's going to get injured. But Kyle Pitts took one of those hits this year again, because you drafted him and you're like, he's got Kirk Cousins. He's got, you know, everything's lining up perfectly for him, and it just didn't work out.
Let other people buy the hype. From the 903, their MVP was Josh Allen, LVP Tyreek Hill. They added surprise stud Chuba Hubbard. And then from the 817, Cooper Kupp lost them their championship.
Oh, who does he sound like when that happens to his voice? What character? Why am I thinking of some sort of like Disney character or something that his voice ends up going to?
Some people find this voice less annoying.
Okay. I'll keep listening to try and figure it out.
It's something. I don't know if it's like Star Wars or something. I like, you know, when you hear something and you're like, oh, that it like clicks like some sort of thing in your brain, but then your brain isn't good enough like mine to then go, well, what is it clicking to?
Yeah, who is it?
Who is that guy over there?
For me, Kevin, Michael Pittman, I expected a lot out of this year, and that's my fault, because he had Anthony Richardson at quarterback, and that was a roller coaster with Richardson and Joe Flacco. When Joe Flacco stepped in, Michael Pittman was better because Richardson was constantly looking for Pierce way downfield, and Pittman's more of a possession type receiver. He is a one, But he didn't.
What happened to their running back that was so great?
Jonathan Taylor, he ended up having a really good year.
Okay.
Yeah, he ended up having a really, in a couple of big games this year.
What about Zeke? I mean, the expectation was he was coming back.
Whose expectation outside the star?
Oh, because there's a lot of people there that told us.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you worry.
And we knew they were wrong then, and they were proven to be wrong.
He ran for, did he run for 100 yards? He ran for over 100 yards.
Did he?
Not in a game.
No,
in
did
his
he?
Season.
Did he have over 100 yards this year?
I don't know.
I honestly don't know.
I bet he did. I think they're going to make a card of it.
Like, this is the moment.
Tops now.
This was the play.
Zeke runs for over 100 yards.
You jerks. He had 226 yards.
Oh, they can make two cards.
And a robust
Zeke hits the 100-yard marker. Zeke hits the 200-yard marker.
Jeez.
Zeke hits the 225 marker.
How many games do you think he had at least 50 yards?
Zero.
How many games do you think he had at least 40 yards?
All of them.
Zero.
One.
First game of the year.
That's right. The first game of the year.
Because I accidentally clicked on that box score for one of the last Cowboy games. I'm like, what the crap is going on? How did Zeke have a... I swear Rico Dowdle had a good game. Why is his number so bad?
I've seen two suggestions, Mike, that say Jar Jar Binks. One on the fan text and one on the Twitch. It could be the same person. But hey, he's a secret Sith, dude. So like maybe that's your thing.
I really thought they were eventually going to reveal that. And he's like, no, he was the next generation of Ewoks. Like cuddly, collectible, sellable
young version of Chewbacca's.
No.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time to chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Next on The Fan.
Arley, top of the zone. Robertson in front. Tip. Score! Jamie Benn, the captain, completes the comeback. And the Stars have beaten the Rangers 5-4.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we get to chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation, courtesy of D&M Leasing. Kevin, it's been a good day for you. How's your voice feeling, man?
I think we're doing better than yesterday.
Are you prepared to ask the fellas how they're doing? Or yeah. Okay. Gentlemen, how y'all feeling right now?
Pretty good, Majors. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Really appreciate that. Guys,
Yeah, probably better than Hagee, but not as good as I could be, to be honest.
Honestly, when I walked in this morning, Kevin was already here, and he said, "How are you doing, Corey?" And I said, "Better than you," based on his voice. So that is a good
feeling.
He battled through it today. Today was a better day, man. I'm proud of it.
Better than yesterday.
Better than yesterday. Okay. And you know what? Jason Garrett taught me once, just get a little bit better each day, and that's all you need to do. He's the first person to ever
Why didn't he take that advice in his coaching skills?
I think he did. It's the players that just didn't listen. You know?
I don't know.
Okay.
Gotta execute.
Execution's very important. Gentlemen, last night, there was a lot of curiosity of whether the Mavs would be able to win.
Hmm.
We got two wins in Dallas, or for Dallas last night, in the Stars and the Mavericks. How are we feeling about our sports here at scene again in DFW?
Man, I thought about opening up the club. I'm not going to lie.
Today?
I thought about it. That was a big win. That was a big win. You snapped the four-game schneid.
Did it against the Lakers.
Go ahead and you break the Corey Majors curse.
Yep, thank you.
You're winning shorthanded. You got Q-Dot making big baskets. And Jaden Hardy, we had a Hardy party there.
Yes.
I mean, it was like, and you turn around, you're shooting 50% damn near from three. I'm thinking, okay, this is what we need moving forward, guys. Every single night, can you give me 47% plus from three?
Yeah.
You don't even need Kyrie and Luka at that point. I mean, am I crazy here? Maybe we should trade them.
Oh, my God.
All right, that part was, we can dump that part. Dump that part if you don't
mind. I was with you most of the way.
Maybe you got a little overboard there.
Got a little too excited. Sorry.
It was nice. You know, I think they came upon a playing style around Spencer Dinwiddie creating and, you know, Grimes and Washington getting the job done. And, you know, anytime Hardy's going to make, what was that, three threes in a row, you're probably heading in the right direction. So it was good. I think the Lakers were flat, but I do think that Mavs fans can take last night's game and be confident that they're at least going to be able to accumulate some wins here while they wait to get back to 100%. And the conversation we had with Tim Cato was really good yesterday in the 4 o'clock hour. He said, listen, all you really got to do is be in the top 10. And right now the 10th team is trending towards 40 or 41 wins.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's not as much as the sky is falling as we thought. Maybe these guys deserve a little bit of credit. I think Jason Kidd and this coaching staff are highly adaptable, and they've shown an ability to figure out, you know, processes of where they're weak and address that. And we see it all the time in playoff series. But I think that, you know, that same coaching process is going to apply here. And I would look for them to buoy the ship a little bit here over the next couple of weeks.
I'll be honest. Yeah. I did not expect the word ship. Can you Can you tell me something, Dawson? Are you an avid hot sauce eater?
I become one.
Okay. Yep. Is this a thing that I need to know more about? He just sips on hot sauce throughout the show?
I'm addicted to it, I feel like. DJ, he brought us this rock and roll hot sauce that somebody in his band makes out in Rockwall.
Okay, all right.
And I took some with me for Christmas, and I ate two bottles of it in like the first 4 or 5 days. So I was fiending for it until I got back. And now since I've got back, I've probably eaten another 2 or 3 of them.
Wow.
So I ordered 5 more. And I'm branching out and trying to sample as many as I can. But this is a Reaper bourbon hot sauce right here.
I like it.
It's really good. I got the Morrison's Ghost.
Okay.
Which is
one flavor or do you like the different flavors?
I mostly just like this one. I mean, it's like the best hot sauce I've ever had. And I'll put it on tortilla chips, potato chips, Pringles.
Yeah. Oh, satisfies the itch.
Yeah, he's 9 years of sobriety and now he has to have some bourbon in his life.
It's not an NA hot sauce.
You know how, Broadus, you have the Rolodex. And I don't know I don't know the Rolodex you have in the NBA. In this, Brian Windhorst is saying that the Mavericks are making the most phone calls in the NBA coming up to the trade deadline. Sure. I'm just wondering what they're making the calls on. I love this. We talked about this earlier about, wouldn't you just love to hear that the Cowboys actually made phone calls instead? Yeah. They're like, we'd actually make zero phone calls. But
they better call us.
I'm just wondering what maybe the Mavericks are calling other teams about or searching for.
It's a good question, and I will pose that to a couple of folk that I know that maybe can help. I don't know. Like I say, it's my front office guys. If luckily, they usually identify to me if they get called. You know, they usually say, hey, we're getting called from so-and-so, and let me know. But I haven't heard from anybody in a while, so I'll circle back and see if anybody knows who the Mavericks are searching for right now.
Chris was in. CA was in. So we were hanging out with him back in the bullpen. He said the buzz last night at the arena was that the report might have gotten twisted a little bit. It's actually teams calling them thinking, you guys have so much perimeter depth. We want one of your guys, you know. And so the Mavs are taking all the calls.
Great position.
But, you know, the league knows that Nico's been making all these moves every time the trade deadline comes up. So they feel like, hey, do you want to make more moves? And he's pretty much, you know, telling them, no, we like our guys.
He doesn't make moves just to make moves. He seems like he has a very good plan of the fit for each player whenever he makes those moves.
I mean, your team is really loaded now. You know, I guess if I had my druthers, we could find a way to get a veteran point guard. You know, that could take up the minutes that Hardy does, a guy that's really good defensively and is going to make the right pass. You know, a guy like Drew Holiday instead of Hardy. But, right, there's one of those in the league.
Yes.
Right? That's the one thing I think you'd be looking for. It was easy to try to prospect for trades the last 2 or 3 trade deadlines. But now it's getting a lot more difficult because the Mavs roster is just about complete.
Maybe they know also the Mavs really don't have many draft picks through 2031. You have 3 first round picks and 1 second round pick until 2032. So I don't know if maybe teams are like, look, you're not playing Hardy on a consistent basis. You guys don't have second round picks for the next 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, how many second round picks do you want for Hardy? And maybe like, well, we're trying to win a championship in case we have the Kyrie Luka situation that we have now. We need these guys if we're going to try to stay afloat in the West.
Yeah, and then, you know, speaking of Tim Cato, he told us a while back they would still really like to find one of the top 10 perimeter defenders in the game, you know, from a wing position.
A
guy that could, you know, be like the Derrick Jones Jr. factor that they had last year.
Great stuff there. What do you guys got coming up on the show, Graham, today?
Pure Gold as always. Majors, thanks for asking. We'll be talking all the Cowboy stories right out of the gates here at top of the hour.
Fired off. That's the G-Bag Nation right there. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. We will be back at it tomorrow. Until then, why are you crossing your fingers?
Hopefully.
Like that?
He's saying we're getting Lou Dort. I think that's what he's saying. He's Oklahoma City's going to trade us Lou Dort.
Till then, you've been masterpiece. I am so hot for this one right now.